Good morning. It is amazing, especially when you get a theme going like I've had going for a long, long time now about grace, how often you notice that term and that concept coming up in what we sing, and it did here in even the last song. Joy of the Lord is my strength. I love songs and I love people who put following Christ into a category of delight and joy, happiness, life as it is supposed to be. And that's exactly what grace does. It has been ours for a long time here, and I believe still is, in every possible form that God has in mind for His people here at Holiday Park today. So many things happen. I came in here yesterday, Gene and I did, as the trunk-or-treat event was in process, and it was amazing. It's, I don't know what term to use. A whole changed atmosphere in this building. Bubbling children just almost dancing on clouds everywhere. Strange, strange looking people. In fact, you had to kind of hear a voice or something to even know who it was that you were talking to when you know them very well. They're just behind all that camouflage or costume that they were wearing yesterday. It was a great, great time. And to me, what made it great? Just because of the costumes, or just because people get stepping out of character? I don't think so. I mean, that's maybe fun, but that's not the main thing. The main thing was little children who came inside a church building where Christianity, the real deal in following Jesus, you'd expect it to be here, and an atmosphere of whatever that's supposed to be here, and it was, and they found it, and they were delighted, and you could read it on every child's face that I looked at and every action that I saw while I was here. I got some photographs in my camera that are astonishing, actually. I may pull some of those out for slides sometime. That'll embarrass some people, but it was just a great, great time. And to me, it falls right in the flavor of what our theme has been over so many years with Vacation Bible School or camp or many, many other things that we do here, of just recognizing that the little people we had here yesterday are so loved by our Lord. He wants them attracted to Him in whatever ways, right ways, that they can be. And that was happening yesterday. And I love it. Jesus in Mark chapter 9, and I've used this scripture a lot as I've traveled for James Connection, for the Angel's Place and so forth. Jesus in Mark chapter 9 is traveling with His disciples, moving southward from where He's been up in Caesarea Philippi and coming south. And He had developed among them a situation that wasn't very pleasing to Him. His disciples were actually wrangling about greatness, who's going to be the greatest. And He used that occasion to just choose a little child. It says He set a little child out in the midst. That means right out in the middle of His disciples. And then He picked the child up, the scripture says, and took him in His arms. That's a moving picture. You know, that's Jesus with a little child in His arms. I think we kind of did that yesterday a little bit. And He said to His disciples, everyone who receives one such little child receives Me. And we received them for Him here yesterday. Strange, perhaps, a little different, a little unorthodox, but we did. And the comment that was made, that one little child left here saying, is the greatest day I ever had, or the greatest time, whatever. It was the greatest, is good stuff. And I love it. I'm glad to be a part of a congregation who has a heart for that very thing, exhibited so beautifully here yesterday. Series, Moved by Grace. It's to me, I sometimes wonder, Mike and I get up and preach sermons and I think we do our best. I know he does, and I try. We struggle, and the struggle is to communicate. Not just to have people have something, oh, that was a great sermon. Okay, good, yeah. I don't know what that even means sometimes, and I fear to ask people, well, what was the main thing you heard? And see a blank face, perhaps, I'm not sure. But we struggle to communicate, and that is a chore that is so worth doing. To be moved by grace to something. And I've suggested quite a number of things to be moved to. I have a whole list of them here. Moved by grace. That actually sums up the things that we've talked about since I got back from my hip surgery a long time ago. I'm about seven months out now. And I've spent the time here that you gave me here on these topics. Moved by grace to something. That says that there's an energy in grace if you tap into it, and it will move you to something good. And I hope we've had that as an impression made upon us by the things we've struggled to say. Mike, I'm sure, takes a long time, and so do I. Even for a bulletin arc, we were talking the other day, even for a bulletin arc, you don't just sit down in 5 or 10 minutes and scribble off a bulletin arc. It takes some time. You're trying to communicate. You're trying to put words together that somehow will get inside people and change who they are. Not just give them some new facts. They can get facts out of a dictionary. Get a Bible dictionary, you can get all the facts you want. That's not what we're here for. We're here to try to get in where people think and feel and live and make some change in accord with the change that Jesus once made. He stopped there on that road with his disciples to make some changes in them instead of squabbling about who's the greatest and all this junk you got on your minds. Let's look at something really great. Help a little child and you receive me. And he was trying to communicate with them as we try to communicate here. And this is a list of things, and the bottom one on the list is where I'll be today. Moved by grace to obey God from the heart. I worry. I talk to people all the time. I travel quite a bit from time to time with James Connection and other ways. And I go in and I receive an impression from this church or that church as to where they really are spiritually. And all too often I'm hearing just dead dry facts. We've got the truth. We got the truth. Those guys don't. And here's the truth. And you lay out some basic fundamental facts of history or whatever occurred in the gospel, and they are the truth. And then what you do to them, step one, step two, step three, becomes their version of what Christianity is. And I am saddened. Literally saddened. That impression must never be who we are here. Never. If it is, let's just quit. We're here to look at something that's precious that happened because of a Creator God who wanted it to happen. Moved from His heart, He wanted something to happen that would reach from His realm, wherever He lives. Talk about heaven, talk about whatever the dimension of God is. He reached out of that down here to this planet where He had created. And He was concerned about something in reaching. And that concern was concern for you and me. And so He acted. And that's grace. Moved by grace, by a God who cared that much for someone like me. A little South Georgia dirtball, nobody. He cared. Isn't that neat? And have that move from the inside to affect who you are and what you do. What does it mean to be moved by grace? That's the first thing I want to deal with. I've dealt with it before. Every time I put together one of these sermons. How do I communicate this? What does it mean to be moved? I've used the word motivated. I may have used some others that I've forgotten now in a struggle to communicate. What does it mean to be moved by grace? Does that mean that somehow, like these disciples, I want to be bigger and better and chief over you guys, and everybody talk about how good I am, and is that what it is to be moved? They were moved, and Jesus didn't like it a bit. Won't like such attitudes in us either. What does it mean to be moved by grace? And I want to use a familiar area. How's that rejected? Okay, that'll be all right. You know the scene. It took place in Acts chapter 2. It is a feast day in Jerusalem. Big time goings on. It is Feast of Pentecost. Feast of Weeks. It's been 7 weeks since Passover. It's Feast of Harvest. Feast of the First Fruits, known by all kind of things. It's gone from springtime till summer, path through summer, and now to harvest time in that area. And there's a feast of recognition before God. It's been taking place a long time. And they're observing it again there that day. And the scripture says they were pierced to the heart. That's just what? 6 words. Pierced to the heart. You can reduce it to 4 words. What does that mean? And I maintain, claim, and would set forth to you that it means exactly what we're talking about when we're saying moved by grace. Pierced to the heart. And I did a little study there, and I've done it before, but there's an interesting Greek word, katanousomai. Katanousomai. Interesting. It means to be pierced through, emotionally stabbed, deeply moved, and altered, right out of Greek analytical lexicon. That's what it means. What does it mean in real life? That's where I want us to go in trying to communicate. What does it mean to be moved by grace? Sharp pain. I've known that. I've been stabbed before where I needed something so badly that there was a struggle inside me that was uncontainable. We were traveling. I've told this story before. It's been a long time. I know it has. So some of you have forgotten it. Some of you never heard it. I've told almost all my stories by now. We're traveling from Louisville, Kentucky, back toward Georgia. Tennessee and Georgia. We're in a borrowed car. My car hadn't gone to New Zealand, okay? It's on a ship someplace. And we're in a borrowed car, a station wagon. And we're traveling along an interstate. And I saw it up in front there. I didn't know what it was. The road all up there is lots blacker than it is here. I didn't know what it was. I just keep driving. When I got there, I found out what it was. Some kind of big truck or something had been there and had problems and had leaked oil all over the road. It must have been, I don't know, 40, 50 feet of it. And then when you go into that, you have no traction. And your tires get oil on them. So when you come out of it, you still have no traction. None. And we're clipping along, maybe 65-ish. That might be conservative, I'm not sure. When I come out of that slick, the car has moved around sideways. We're going down the road, 60 miles an hour, sideways. I'm moved. I got a hold of a steering wheel that does nothing. Brakes that do nothing. 5 little kids. Gee. I'm pierced. Stabbed. What am I going to do? It took some time. It wasn't like 2 seconds. It's a while there going down the road sideways. Gene's reaching for this kid. That kid. As though she could maybe keep him safe. I'm struggling with the wheel. I'm saying, now let's see if I get my wheels maybe angled to the left. When I get some traction, it'll straighten me back up. Oh, did it ever. Did straighten me back up when I got traction and did that car complete 360 or whatever number of degrees that is. I'm going, maybe it was more than that. I'm going down the road now backwards. In the meantime, I've moved over onto the shoulder of the road. And I just sat there. Who's going to be hurt? Me? The kids? Gene? Stabbed. God had to just, I guess, reach his hand down and hold that car on the shoulder of the road till it stopped. I was actually physically sick from being stabbed that hard. Care that much about what's going to happen. About which little kid's going to be injured and how. Is Gene going to be all right? Stabbed. That happened here at Pentecost. It wasn't just some
Well, what do you have to do? Let's see, I think you got to repent, whatever that is, and you got to be baptized.
If that's what happened at Pentecost, they would stab nobody in the heart, mean nothing about as it has come to mean in some quarters where I've been. That's what it is to be stabbed in the heart. They were. This Jesus, whom you killed, remember him? It was just 7 weeks ago, approximately, on the cross. Remember him. You killed God in human form, who came to this planet to save you. And they were stabbed to the heart. They felt it. And the cry went out. What should we say? It didn't have, Lord, what are we to do? Peter, apostles, stabbed, needed to know, thought coming from the inside, from the inner man. These Jewish people that day did not come to Jerusalem with a thought, I think I might be baptized today. Never occurred to them when they were coming once. It occurs to them now after they hear Peter. Once there, they heard a message that moved them, a message of grace that moved them to change everything, and they did. It changed everything, 3,000 of them. Most of them never went back home, or at least that we have any record of. They didn't go back home soon. They just stayed in Jerusalem, moved to change their life entirely. Live among a group of people where they just all put again whatever they've got, and we'll just all live on it together. We found something wonderful. Don't want to go back home to Cappadocia, Pontus, Phrygia, Asia, Pamphylia, Egypt, Libya, Cyrene, Rome, Crete, and Arabia, and all the other places from which we came. We don't want to go back home. Life's different. Life's changed. This is too big to go back to what we were. We ain't going. So they didn't. And they stayed. And Christianity began right there. Moved by grace from the heart. Moved. Katanusami, stabbed. Changed forever. Do you know what that is? Have you been moved like that ever? I racked my mind to think of some times in my life, the one I've already shared and others, when I've been moved. Moved inside. This, what I'm concerned about now, is the main thing, only thing. Nothing competes with it into how much it matters. How many times have I had like that? Well, maybe that one and maybe a few others. You can go on the internet and find incredible slides. Came home from the field one day. It was late. It was probably less than an hour daylight left. Worked to the point that I was done for. My dad still in the field. I come there and I am just going to go get me a sandwich or something, sit on the front porch in the swing, and I'm just going to sit here and rest. But before I can get to my house, there it is out there in the back behind the fence of the yard, a garden that my mom had put out. And she's out there, right by herself. I knew all about her. I knew she had a bad back. And she's out there trying to raise some food, vegetables, so I can feed Earl and his little brother and three sisters with her bad back. Straighten up every now and then and just, because it hurts, and then go right back to digging. And I was moved. Tired, not tired, Who cares? I'm going to go help my mom. And I did. Move from the heart. Christianity is not just let's get it right while they all got it wrong. It is a heart matter. To be moved from the heart to something is what it's about. That's what you and I being here about now is about. Or it's about nothing. I wanted my God praised because my heart said, can I leave Him and just go do my thing while He has done and is doing so much for me? No. Move from the heart. I want to praise Him. I want to be here where there will be a people who assemble just for that. That He wanted and said He wanted. If a few of you will meet together, I'll be there. And He is here. Don't forsake me by just doing something else while this assembly of mine on my day is going on. What else is more important than being moved from the heart to be here for what He asked and to remember and praise? Nothing. I hope that's what got you here. That's what it's about. That's what it was about for those people there at Pentecost at the first time the church really met, while it became a church in the process. They were moved from the heart, stabbed. And life was never the same. Life in the past had no attraction to them. They found something brand new and they're moved to it. And that is so important for me to know as an experiential part of my whole faith and existence in the presence of my God and my Lord who spent 6 hours on a cross. Moved by grace. John wrote, the Word became flesh. I've had this up here before. I want to put it up again because communication is a slow process. Getting it from here into here is not an automatic process many times. Doesn't happen at the same pace with any one of us. The Word became flesh and lived here among us. Do you hear that? And we have seen His glory, the glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And from His fullness, we have received grace upon grace. Yeah, the law, you know, lawism, that Moses brought that as a training ground for the Jewish people for Jesus to come. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. That is supposed to... Can you take that apart in your own mind a little bit? What does that actually mean? Grace and truth. The Word became flesh. What a statement. Word Logos became a human being. Logos, by definition, means thought plus the expression of thought. Thought expressed. Jesus left heaven, came to the earth as God's thought expressed. Logos. And He lived here among us. The life that you know from having read Scripture. Does that move you? Does it move you that God would leave heaven, come down here, just to save you? Because He cared? We were a people without hope. What's God saying in these words? 4 words. Is He saying, I came to this planet, put myself in a human body to save you, not them, not everybody, you? Is He saying, yes, exactly that. Is He saying, I spent 33 years here trying my best to convince you of who I am? Was there during those 33 years to be seen, read, and known, and disputed by those who don't want to accept it, but still here 2,000 years later to show you who I am? Yes. That's true. I let them spit on me, beat me nearly to death, then nail me up and kill me. Is he saying that? In your place. Yes. He's saying exactly that. Does that move you? Have you heard it so many times? Yeah, I know that. I've heard it before. If so, bless your heart. You're as hard as a rock and you are lost. I care too much. Is he saying, I care too much to leave you with no hope, Ephesians 2:12, and without God in the world? Hopeless to the doom that spells out. I came here because I cared too much to leave you like that. You were the property of Satan, who messed things up for God's loved people all the way back to the garden, and I didn't want to leave it that way. I loved you too much. So I came here to try to save you. If I had left you that way, you would get the doom that is spelled out in Scripture, sometimes just to scare people. To me, the purpose of it being there is to help us see how wonderful he is for saving us from it. Hell, Matthew 25, prepared for the devil and his people, his angels, those who belong to him, which would have been me hadn't Christ not come. Touched, moved, amazed. When I stopped that car and realized everybody was safe. Another moment in time, like few others. We're okay. That plight is not going to be ours. He came so that the plight of the devil and his angels will not be yours, but rather that beautiful place that he talks about in John 14 that he's gone to prepare for you and him. Isn't that neat? Move your heart. If you got one, it will. That's my lesson for today. That's where I'm going to call it to a stop. Cut gobs more. I hope we've gotten through, communicated, moved in the heart to obey from the heart that God, that Christ, because of how special and wonderful he is. His glory, doxa, glory, radiant, so much that even just how great he is in splendor would move you. Then you go to all he's done. And the job is complete, and your heart is responsive, or it goes away hard to other things. Need to come to that God? Come now while we sing.